Chapter 8. Define your superpowers. Discover what lights you up. Find your light. Your goals are important. If more people were successful at bringing their potential into the world, our species would evolve in a profound way. Just think of how many gifted people you've known who, for whatever reason, ended up on a life path where their gifts were never really developed and shared. Even if your goals are quite modest, and even if you never reach them, if you're guided by your purpose and you use your gifts, life won't feel like a missed opportunity. More importantly, there's a qualitative difference to a life lived in this awareness. There may be minimal change to the structure, but a fundamental shift in the access to space and the infusion of sweetness. We believe that the base state of every human's consciousness is love. It could also be called truth or virtue. Most of us explored and experienced the world from this perspective as a baby. However, through socialization and traumatic events, we gradually accumulated a pile of beliefs and defense mechanisms that tend to override this natural state and impair our ability to experience life in an unobstructed, love-based manner. This virtue is like light, and humans, when functioning at their healthiest, when doing what might be considered to be our soul work, are like carriers of light into the world. When you meet someone with a really healthy soul, isn't it like encountering light? It's not a coincidence that we use expressions like, "You brightened up my day," or "She's a shining star," or "Look on the bright side." Virtue feels illuminating. And when we say, "Shed some light on the matter," we mean that the truth, too, is like light. Sometimes one of these bright souls rings up our groceries, or takes our order at a restaurant, or teaches us an otherwise boring subject in school, and we feel positively changed through the encounter. These folks transform the planet. They counteract the fear, stress, and bullshit of the world. They use their light to penetrate and heal the darkness and separation they encounter. There may be nothing conscious or spiritual about it. They're just being who they are and telling it like it is. They're simply people in whom virtue is relatively unobstructed. As more people bring more light to the world, the scale starts to tip, away from a history of ignorance, divisiveness, and brutality, and toward understanding, unification, and peace. We want you to be one of these people. Earth will be better for everyone, including you and us, if you are. We all have gunk. Your ability to be an emissary of light, aka virtue, love, or truth, isn't like a switch that's either on or off. It's a range. The stuff that gets in the way, most of which is a product of your mind, impedes your ability to be a vessel for light. If light were liquid and you were a pipe, the obstructing stuff could be understood as gunk, to use the technical term, in the pipe. Sometimes the gunk builds up and barely any light gets through. Other times the gunk clears and more light pours out. Additionally, there's some variability in the force of this liquid light. If you're inspired, say, by another person who's really shining their light, your own light surges. In these moments, it manages to push past the gunk more effectively than usual. Clearing your gunk. For the task of facilitating the expression of your virtue, holistic systems of medicine can offer some useful guidance. By the way, holistic simply means addressing the whole being, that is, considering all facets of a person as one interconnected entity. It doesn't imply a particular modality of medicine, rather, any approach that attends to the big picture is a holistic one. In our experience, the essence of holistic healing can be understood as consisting of two main divisions. 1. Clearing, releasing, transforming, or correcting the gunk, meaning whatever obstructs the expression of virtue through the individual. And 2. Awakening or reinforcing one's virtue. Gunk on one level, such as a bacterial infection affecting the physical body, could infringe on the expression of virtue on that same level, for example, impairing vibrant physical health. Or it could affect the expression of virtue on another level, for example, impairing vibrant psychological health. Therefore, in the process of gunk investigation, it's worthwhile to examine both the body and the mind. We've seen patients with depression and anxiety that cleared up entirely upon eliminating problematic foods from their diet. We've also seen patients with severe pain that cleared up entirely when a conflict was resolved or negative emotions were released. If you try to awaken virtue without addressing the gunk by, say, listening to an inspiring speech, taking a hike on a beautiful mountain, attending a ceremony in a holy temple, holding a newborn baby, or drinking a shot of wheatgrass juice, this usually results in your experiencing a transient feeling of energy, inspiration, or happiness, followed by a return to your previous state. Unless the connection to virtue occurs through a profoundly powerful experience, and such experiences are almost impossible to manufacture, it's unlikely to take in a lasting way. The gunk is too deeply entrenched. Perhaps counterintuitively, focusing exclusively on clearing the gunk doesn't really work either. Even if you get a colonic, go on a fast, break down all your negative beliefs, smudge yourself with sage smoke, or smash your cell phone, you usually just experience a transient feeling of energy or lightness, and again, a return to your previous state. Completely deprived of your gunk, you may feel vulnerable and lost, and you'll quickly look for new gunk. Especially if you've been hyper-focused on gunk, there will always be more. Something needs to take the place of the gunk in order to stabilize the clearing process. As you might guess, these processes work best in tandem. Clear your gunk and reinforce your virtues simultaneously. The cleanup work described in Chapter 3 and the inner critic work in Chapter 6 are a valuable start in gunk cleanup, while the self-care practices of Chapter 2, the integrity work of Chapter 4, and the self-worth recognition in Chapter 6 all support your connection to virtue.
Structure, sweetness, and space. The difficulty in embodying your virtue points to the need for structure, sweetness, and space in order to be an effective vessel. You need space to perceive and access your inner light. Sweetness allows you to access virtue in the forms that are most palatable and lovable to you, and it makes your work more enjoyable. Healthy structure, including the body itself, enables you to be a stable carrier of this high-level consciousness in the world, a world with plenty of conflict and doubt.
Now we'll focus on inviting the expression of your unique virtue by identifying the specific ways in which it shines through you, your superpowers, aka your core values, gifts, and purpose. Discovering these qualities imparts a subtle structure to your life that can revolutionize how you feel and operate. Further, this form of pragmatic self-awareness can help you navigate your new adventures with assurance, and will make the challenging periods feel worthwhile.